All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, so many of our randomizations have to do with dead moles. I think it's because it is a topic of very particular fascination on our part.
They're cool.
So I just used some of our funds and bought one.
Oh, finally, $1 billion movie.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We're not even going to try and rehabilitate this, though. We're just going to go stall to stall and see what's in these bad boys. Okay.
Okay. I'm into that.
Yeah. And then, you know, we can probably flip this. We can sell it to a server farm or whatever. Or we could just do sick pocket bike tricks in it.
Yeah. At easy swords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I figured for our inauguration, what would be the better place to find a bunch of licenses that we could randomize off of than to go to a Hot Topic?
Oh, well, a Sam Goody.
Oh, yeah, true. You know, Sam Goody, maybe some kind of like Suncoast Media.
Yeah, Suncoast.
Yeah.
Spencer's, but Hot Topic will work.
Hot Topic works. I say Hot Topic because this mall was abandoned in 2005. So
I think Hot Topic out of all those brands is the only one that's still around. Actually, Hot Topics are really thriving.
Are they?
It's all anime and Joker gear.
Okay.
Like for the discerning Joker. There's a lot of like Joker and Joker wife paraphernalia. And then also like Pokemon stuff.
True. Yeah. Always Pokemon. Yeah. Then there's, I think there's still a Spencer's in our local mall. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. You know. If you want a poster, one of the most vile posters I've ever seen, which is a bunch of cheerleaders. And then the text says 2, 4, 6, 8, look at us and masturbate.
Oh, will do.
You heard the poster.
Not my fault.
Well, I've got to be a gentleman. They asked nicely.
Yeah. Man, that's a tough, ethical thing. If somebody's like, hey, would you masturbate to me? Like, I don't know if you're, what are you doing later? Like that is a weird.
Also imagine if somebody walked up and just said, I give you permission.
Yeah. Like without unprompted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
Okay. Anywho.
Hot topic.
Let's crack the lock on this bad boy and open it up. Oh man. Smells like plastic.
Yeah. It's gross.
Yeah.
It's like it
looks like all they left behind was just a bunch of Vote for Pedro shirts. Oh, yeah. No, it was 2005. So
there's a Vote for Pedro game, isn't there?
I think that was like, what, Napoleon Dynamite? a democracy mod that is just
Pedro.
Class president, yeah.
Finally.
Oh, fuck, the game computer is making us play the Napoleon Dynamite game.
It's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to After Suffering. Today, we're going to rub our bellies for 35 minutes and listen to Incohate screaming.
Sounds like a plan to me. It's a lie. It is not the game computer that made us do it. It was me.
Yeah,
it was
this me is a cool pick.
Who made us do the Napoleon Dynamite video game.
It's pretty bleak.
As the kids say, I chose violence, Gary.
It's a pretty bleak one.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is pretty bleak. Gotta say, it's a real definitive PSP game. The PSP had all kinds of shit like this, man.
You would buy the UMD of the movie, and then you'd play the shitty minigame collection
of the movie. Yeah, it is between like work time fun and, you know, what is it, squash or whatever, smash, stretch, the platformer about being flattened.
I can't remember. I don't know. Wow. Yeah, it is very funny that this kind of game used to be called a party game.
Yes. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Hey, I'm having the boys around later. We're going to crack some cold ones. We're going to pop some ND up on the PSP on the TV.
Yeah, we're going to do a double feature of the movie and then watching me play the worst version of Pipe Dreams you've ever played. That's very funny. This was a thing when you don't, it is like, how do you adapt, mm-hmm. you know, a game you can't adapt. And Minigame Collection is what the 2000s, what like platformer was in the 90s.
Yes.
Right. Like this was just kind of how you did it. Like throw some iconography up there, mm-hmm. put together some easy games, yeah. And then that's it.
And Napoleon Dynamite, the movie, lends itself to this because there's no coherent plot to it.
No.
It's just a series of, like, shorts, really, yeah. is what it is. Yeah.
It's a really bizarre cultural artifact for people who are not familiar that I don't think it killed anyone's career, but they all did disappear.
You don't really see John Hader involved in a bunch of stuff. I think like he's mostly doing voice work now.
Yeah.
Which is good work if you can get it, but also like he's kind of always going to be Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes. No matter how much he tries and changes his haircut and stuff.
Right.
And then everyone else in the movie disappeared. It's not that kind of movie. It's real weird to think about. It out of the things that were huge cultural comedy, you know, touchstones of that era, mm-hmm. it for me stands up one of the worst.
Yes.
You know, I compare this to other things that were from this time, like a Borat or what have you. Mm-hmm. That was a little bit after this, but you know, similar kind of
mid-2000s. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's still pretty funny. You know, there's still, I can still kind of get the joke. Napoleon Dynamite just feels weird to me. It just feels like we were all sick to me.
You know? God, man. So you know, this is one of those things where our age difference is going to be a determining factor in this. Okay. I went and saw Napoleon Dynamite and I thought it was okay. I had developed the antibodies for independent cinema at that point. Yes. But you have to understand that like being a high school senior, like shortly after this came out, I think it came out like the summer between my junior and senior year. Like it was this and fucking Family Guy forever in every direction.
It's like my generation with Romancing the Stone.
I was going to say Clerks, but okay.
No, I was just trying to make an old joke. But the, you know, it's like Clerks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it too. Like I saw the movie, you uh-huh. know, and I also had, people, you know, I knew people who, aped it. Like I aped Wayne's World when I was a kid.
Yes.
And there were, my big memory of it was, playing a show in an attic and, somebody doing something and me going, God, but not like trying to do it like Napoleon Dynamite. Just
it saying, just came out that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It just came out in a frustrated way. And one of my friends, this guy named Sam, is just like, Jesus Christ, be original for once in your life. Like not as a joke. Like he was actually really mad at me.
Okay.
And I was like, what the fuck? And I was in the middle of, you know,
setting up
a show.
Oh, you were doing a show. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was in the middle of a song. You're in the middle of a set. Uh-huh. It was just like, Jesus, man.
Is now the time?
Yeah. And also I can't defend myself. I can't get off this and explain like, no, man, I was just saying a word. What the hell, like, dude?
like a whole emotion cannot be colonized by a single very popular movie.
It's the same way I don't like giving lasers, you know, Kamehameha to just mm-hmm. lasers. You know, concepts are so broad, cannot just be one thing.
Yeah.
You know,
so Napoleon Dynamite, it's a movie that is about a very awkward teenager played by somebody who is very clearly in his late 20s.
Yes. Who looks awkward.
Yes. Yeah. Curly hair, is aggressively unpleasant. Like there is nothing redeeming about this person's personality.
He's not a good person.
Just very irate.
Yeah. Really mad at everyone else. Very put upon. Shows frustration easily. I bet you this movie reads really differently now because this guy would seem like a dangerous incel.
Oh yeah. Almost,
you know, like this is the kind of like the fact that he gets so mad at his classmates and has a hard time expressing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. That has a shade to it.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. You know? But like he's in this small, I think it's like a Utah town. The entire thing is aggressively Mormon. is the deal, like, right down to, like, I don't know, his uncle runs like a supplement business, or is like trying to do these like get rich quick scheme kind of things. Yeah. And it's like him and his awkward friends in this rural town, like roughly structured around his friend Pedro, who wants to become the class president. And then there's a big dance at the end.
Yes. It was one of the early bringing back the big dance number from the 80s.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And then just everyone acts a little bit weird and off in it. It's kind of like something in a comedy Gumo.
Yeah, you know? That's probably a good, yeah.
Without being so gross, but like, he still does raw dog a bunch of tater tots out of his pocket.
He does. He does carry around pocket tots. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is gross.
Uh-huh. Don't do that. There's a lot of lint in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so to adapt this into a video game, what they did was make this would be a very unpleasant minigame collection, largely because every minigame goes on so much longer than it should.
The opening dance, like, dude, you're not listening to a song.
No, it's like a 3-minute rhythm game to a menu music for like a funk themed racer on a PC game in 1998.
Yeah,
you know, like Highway 76 or whatever that game is, or something like that. Yeah. It's just, you know, funk.wave on Fruity Loops for 3 minutes as you're doing, you know, Parappa the Rappa. It sucks.
Yeah,
it goes on forever. Every other mini game has multiple rounds. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll do something that's kind of fun. You know, yeah. Like, okay.
Like, they this weird little like shooter ping pong thing where you're feeding the llama. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but it's then like, it just goes, you know, on.
Feeding time, round three. I'm like, that's how feeding time works. The whole thing is done in this paper cutout style with like stills from the movie as kind of like puppets.
Yeah.
This, and it's really ugly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aggressively so. Also commits the cardinal sin of a party game, quote unquote, minigame collection, which is you cannot select, just go to a menu and select the games. It makes you play through the plot of the movie before you can unlock all of them. Yeah.
It's awful. It's really bad. It's a hated game for good reason. The degree to which it's visually unpleasant is hard to state.
Yeah.
You should look it up if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's a jib jab. Yes. It's not dad mom. It's a jib jab.
It's got a, South Park, like how South Park animates the Canadians specifically, you know, and we'll do real people. It's kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
Which is not a good look.
That just made me picture Napoleon Dynamite unhinging his jaw like a python to swallow his girlfriend whole.
I could get down with that.
Yeah.
Or if like he could put his jaw back and you could throw things into Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because something about him being an angry little incel is that he also is really impotent. Because all he can do is get mad and say God in a weird way.
Yeah.
So like you could do whatever.
No, not
you want
God. Gosh.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah. Again, aggressively Mormon.
Yes. Yeah. Take that, Sam Chokey. I said God. Not gosh. But the
fuck is Sam Chokey?
He's the guy who called me out.
Jeez, doxing this person on Maine.
Yeah, just what the fuck, man. I like Sam. Sam knows I like him. Okay. He probably would, you know, Sam will never listen to this. None of my old friends listen to my podcast. Sam. Yeah, but yeah, if Napoleon Dynamite's head opened up like a trash bin, there's nothing you could put inside his head that he would protest meaningfully to.
No, he would just kind of, he would do like a limp kick at you.
Yes.
Like, if you're trying to picture this guy and you only know better movies, it's a little bit like somebody doing the Paul Rudd tantrum for Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes.
For an entire film.
With none of the charm of Paul Rudd.
Yes.
And for some reason, the nation fucking loved it.
Oh, they lost their fucking minds.
Yeah. It's a weird movie. It's a weird fucking movie. And then the second movie, the Nacho Libre, came out, which is also a really weird movie, but nobody liked.
Napoleon Dynamite that killed this director's career. It was the fact that he followed it up with Nacho Libre and that sci-fi author's one. What is it? Something Broncos. Broncos.
Gentlemen Broncos. Yeah. Just kind of lost it. Yeah. This is a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
We live to see it. In some ways, it's kind of beautiful.
Although he is, by looking at his Wikipedia, slated to direct the Minecraft movie coming out in 2025. So
that sounds about right.
Yeah.
You know, I the Minecraft movie should probably be a collection of mini games as well.
Probably.
You play in the theater. Like, a long play of this should probably be, you know, indistinguishable. Yeah.
Did you know that at one point, Rob McElhenney was hired to direct the Minecraft movie?
No.
Yeah.
McElhenney?
Yeah. You know, Mac was was hired. Yeah.
I had no idea. That's fascinating. I don't think the Minecraft movie will be very good.
I don't have a lot of hope for it, no.
Yeah, but based kind of on Minecraft story mode from Telltale, which is real weird.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't, the idea of wanting a lot of plot out of your Minecraft, I think, is a little bit silly.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
You know? Yeah. But it is a cottage industry that makes more money than we'll ever make in our lives through books.
Yeah, whole end caps at Barnes & Noble, just all about that. Yeah. Can I tell you a heartbreaking story that relates to Napoleon Dynamite?
Yes.
And I'm being very vulnerable here, which means you're probably going to laugh at me. So there was a girl I was trying to date. In my senior year, I believe she was a junior. Yeah, she was 1 year beneath me. Very pretty. And we'd been on like friend dates, you know, like she spent a lot, you know, like we spent a lot of time together, but like the moment that I knew it wasn't going to be like a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Just it wasn't going to go, was when we were talking about Napoleon Dynamite, and she said, "You know, you kind of remind me of him."
That's
the fucking kiss of death right there.
How do you come back from that? Yeah,
you don't.
Yeah, that's. I don't know what I'd say in the moment.
If I'm being kind, and I have no reason not to be kind to this person, it was, you know, it was disappointing, but still, you know, whatever, just got kids or whatever. But like, it's, is like, she was probably just trying to say, "Oh, you're kind of quirky and, you know, just you're kind of quirky and you don't have a lot of friends."
Well, that doesn't really sugarcoat it maybe as much as you thought.
If I'm being charitable to her, she was trying to say you're kind of quirky.
You're a quirky weirdo, which is also a red flag.
Yes.
Because like that person is too normy for you. If they think you're being weird just by making jokes, right? Mm-hmm. Like what Gen Pop thinks is weird in general is just trying to be funny. And having a sense of humor that isn't, you know, young Sheldon.
Right. I don't have time for that. I've got to go home and watch Yeehaw.
Exactly. It's not really a thing. That does suck. That is rough.
Yeah, that was kind of hard to come back from. Yeah.
There was, back in my high school days, there were a couple of ladies who hung out with us who were from a smaller town. The Kirkland ladies, and because we were all
were they from Costco? they
does sound like it.
They slept on a shelf next to like a gigantic thing of peanut butter pretzels.
Yeah, so there were samples. So they would come, and we were all horrible little, you know, horny kids who did not know how to talk to women. So we all had crushes on them, and were just impressed that women were hanging out with us, and all the worst shit, right? And one of them, I remember constantly just going, every time we'd be hanging around, we'd be making each other laugh because, you know, I don't know how funny we were objectively, but we were funny to each other.
Right. Friendship. Right. Yeah.
And she's just going, "You guys are weird." And just kept saying it every time we did that. Yeah, that's what that story reminds me of. You were expecting me to make fun of you for this. I am so on your side and think you dodged a huge bullet. Like I just that person was one of these like you're weird, and it's because like you know you don't want to end up in the situation where you end up having inertial relationship inertia with the guy that Kim goes and dates in Florida, you know, like in Better Call Saul, like that is what you avoided there. You avoided some Miracle Whip and potato salad shit. So
I did, you know, just bounce back from that and got into a relationship with someone who was kind of more on my wavelength, which was good. Yeah, no, but and that was a commonality. I did get the like, "Oh, you're weird." you know, kind of thing. And that's something that my brother got a lot too, you know. It was just kind of the way that like the majority of people were related. And it's not like I didn't have friends. I, you know, did a bunch of stuff, was not an outcast in high school, right?
Yeah.
But you're weird because I don't know. The weirdest thing about me probably was that I tried too hard to make people laugh, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird is a non-functioning high school word.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's interesting thinking about one of the other things I was thinking about this, not to change gears too quickly.
No.
But thinking about Napoleon Dynamite in 2023, in addition to thinking of him as kind of an incel, and I'm not making light of this, there's probably discourse about Napoleon Dynamite being on a spectrum, right? Of some kind.
I would not be surprised about that at all. Yeah. No, that's a...
Like that seems like the kind of thing that this gets thrown around a lot, but this, it might literally be a movie you would not make today or could not make today. You know, this kind of movie that is about a high school student being awkward and neuroatypical for comedy cannot be the end of a joke. Now.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Like, that would be, you know, there would also be a little bit of, I think, an inclination to make it a very special episode in a way that this is not, right?
No. It's not like the spirit of the movie is ultimately a little mean-spirited, I think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not supposed to like Napoleon Dynamite. He still wins in the end. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to find him quotable, but not like a human. You're not like a person. Yeah.
There are probably people my age or, you know, between our age. Napoleon Dynamite probably came out and fucking ruined a bunch of, you know, people who are, you know, on the autism spectrum. Probably ruined a bunch of their lives. Not ruined their lives, but like made things much more difficult for them in relating to other people because that was the comparison that they had. Yes. That is just my suspicion. I would need to hear from somebody who actually like lived that to understand. That's my reckon on it.
Yeah.
Right?
I wouldn't be surprised, I guess is the most I would say, you know, and cannot stress this enough. This is us assuming people are going to be shitty. I'm not making that comparison. I don't know what Napoleon Dynamite is. I'm not, qualified to diagnose anything.
Nope.
It's just this probably was bad for people who are socially awkward in any and all ways.
Yes.
Evil movie. Did evil.
There is one like genuinely funny joke in that like gag or scene kind of thing, which is the time machine. Right.
Yeah.
The uncle who comes over. Lives in the RV or whatever, is this, you know, high school football, you know, burnout kind of guy, you know, who is constantly talking about that one big play or whatever. And he gets suckered in, you know, on the internet or, you know, somebody sells him what he thinks is a time machine to take him back to that day so that he can, you know, make the play and relive the glory days or whatever. But it just turns out to be a thing that vibrates his balls.
Yes.
That is funny.
A joke done so much better later in Burn After Reading.
Yes.
With George Clooney's Secret Basement Project.
So good. I love
one
that
of the funniest
so much.
Thing
that movie slaps. I love that movie so much.
it's one of the better Coen Brothers comedies, I think.
Yeah.
It's real good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, you know, a funny concept.
Yeah.
I don't remember very much about Napoleon Dynamite. Like, I know I saw it.
Uh-huh.
But I had that incredible strong antibody of not wanting to be a person who quoted it and such.
Yes.
And my friends didn't really do that either. So like, I remember the vague high points of the plot, but not the individual things. I was reminded of the time machine thing by the minigame that is Tanagram's Leon's briefcase in the minigame collection.
I got to round three of the Feeding Tina the Llama minigame, and I was like, well, that's this.
You get it so fucking quick in this.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to go to YouTube. Is the time machine one the one that looks like a pipe dream? Is that it?
No.
Where you're doing
that's,
circuitry?
His nerd brother or cousin or whatever, the other
Kip.
Guy.
Yeah. Kip. It's another uncle, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Kip. Doing some stuff. The time machine, it looks like you're doing save room.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah.
Except not as charming.
That is one of those things that is actually kind of sweet about the movie. It's played for a joke that he has this girlfriend that he only knows from the internet, but like it turns out she's real and she like you know, comes to
absolutely
town.
Absolutely loves him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, oh yeah. Like there's, okay. That is a, one of the earlier like positive depictions of online dating, you know, in the age of like AOL Instant Messenger or whatever, you know? So like,
I would say that.
Like it was a weird kind of thing for them to pull where you think it is this pathetic denial thing. It turns out, no, it's actually like super genuine.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It is a lost opportunity. This Napoleon Dynamite. Can I run a scenario by you real quick?
Yes.
That I think is probably about the, you know, 5 minutes of, you know, the time we had to fill. So I went to a party recently, for our mutual friend, Nick Auber's wife.
Oh, birthday party. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yep. Love. Yeah. Love them.
Yeah. Fun birthday party at their lovely home. Mm-hmm. Party was outdoors. So there was a sign that said, you know, party, you know, come around back for party. Mm-hmm. Okay. Get there, hanging out. It's luau themed, nice food and everything. Everyone's having a nice time.
Very cute.
Right. Guy lets himself into the backyard.
Related to the friend group.
So hold up. Himself in and says, hey, I saw the sign. I used to live here. I used to live in this basement back when I was I don't really remember the term. It's some kind of like Greenpeace-esque, like geo nurse or like, travel med. It's not Doctors Without Borders, but something like that. Like
adjacent,
I was a world nurse.
NGO something or other.
Yes. Yeah. I was a world nurse. Something that would turn out to be evil in Metal Gear 6. and it was just like, and hung out there, and I couldn't make out everything he was saying. He was talking to Carrie. Mm-hmm. Hung out and stood there and talked to her for at least 10 minutes.
Okay.
Then asked for Carrie's number, which Carrie gave to him because awkward, you know,
right.
And the whole situation, like, first of all, that's psychopath behavior, right? In the first place.
Yeah. I understand. Like I have had the instinct to like go and knock on the door of a house I used to live at and just be like, hey, can I take a peek in here? That is like an intrusive thought that I have had. Never in a million years would I do it.
I've thought about it too. Like if I could just have a Unity recreation of every house I used to live in as it is now.
Oh yeah.
I would love that. But can you imagine? I think it betrays a real serious lack of empathy because imagine if somebody did that to you.
I mean, it would be a real bummer. I'm sure Carrie took it in stride, you know.
Carrie took it okay. She was uncomfortable too. Yeah. The fact that she was taking it in stride made me worry that I was the one, like, this is actually normal and I am the one who thinks this is weird. And then after that person left, everyone was like, what the fuck?
Okay.
Like, nobody was into it. Everyone was like, that's ridiculous. And then Carrie, you know, somebody was like, why'd you give him your number? And she's like, I don't know. I wish I hadn't. And she blocked him. But I was like, no, because now he is going to come by and be like, why'd you block me? You know, he knows where you live and he feels like he has an open pasture.
You invited the vampires in, yeah.
The vampires there, you know, and it's just like such a fucked up thing. I just can't imagine, you know, and somebody will hear this and, or there's somebody out there who is going to be like, oh, this is why what's wrong with your generation is like, nobody wants to make friends and be friends with their neighbors, blah, blah, blah. But first of all, it's a party, you know, it's a private party. We're all in our 40s, you know, like this is far past, we're nobody's raging. It's not a come all. We're sitting around in conversation groups, catching up.
Yeah.
You know, this has nothing, there's not room for this person. It is not, it can't be my problem that this person can't make friends. And they had this like real hippie kind of air about them, like, you know, when the universe throws me a free party sign, who am I to say no to the muse? That kind of thing.
I who are you to say? I mean, just the general social boundary around it. Like, this is.
Do you know how often I say no to the muse?
I say no to the muse a lot.
Yeah, it's a nonstop no. Unless otherwise specified, the standing answer for the muse is no.
Uh huh.
You know, I'm not going to do this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't care for that one bit.
Yep.
That is a pretty big boundary cross. Like, and it's also the kind of thing like that I would do in college, you know,
okay.
There is that era where like you're walking around and you see a party and you just kind of like go to it because they've got it open and there's a keg in the kitchen and you can probably get up to it. And if anybody asks you a question, you say you're here with Dave.
Yeah. Well, right? In your college, that's kind of welcome and expected.
Yes.
You know, it's so many friends of friends of friends, like bring as many people as you want. Right. All it is young people trying to get obliterated.
Yes.
You know, there's no structure or purpose to that kind of party other than oblivion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, an adult party is a very different thing, though.
Yeah.
And not like the one in the ice storm. I mean, like, just... I just mean, you know, like, I was happy to be, like, Brayden was there with his partner, who I hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I was catching up with Brayden. We spent most of the time talking about Baldur's Gate 3.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was not something where I wanted people just to be hanging out, really. You know? And nobody wanted it. And it was a frustrating... Yeah. Frustrating thing.
You said the ice storm in relation to a party, and I got that mixed up with the big chill, and I was like, dude, that was a funeral.
That's a kind of party.
That is a party foul in the purest sense of the word.
I think so.
That wouldn't like light a broom on fire and then chase him out.
I was trying to think of, you know, because it was an ethical situation, I was like, what would I do in this exact situation? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Liv about it. And we both decided like the goal is the optimal path is just be direct and do it quick. Because the longer, you know, you might be mean, but the longer the person hangs out, the more they're kind of grandfathered in.
Right. You know? The more there can be drift, right?
Yes. And like you think it'd be nice to like offer this person a beer or something like that, but then you have just invited them to permanently stay.
Yeah.
You would just say, hey, they were kind of having a private thing here. You know? Yeah. That I think that would solve it. And that's hard. Mm-hmm. Confrontation's hard, but that would have done it. The other thing that was fascinating about it was the masculinity stuff on display, because I was like, oh, this guy is clearly hitting on Carrie. Mm-hmm. You know. Is it a responsibility of mine to protect this person because I have power in this situation? Mm-hmm. Or is that condescending? Also, is that somehow weirdly condescending to Nick? I had no idea. Like, navigating it in the patriarchy was fucking really interesting and bizarre. It was a story problem. Like, I felt like I was doing a college entry essay for an ethics school.
I mean, to a degree, it would have to feel like you were being tested for the Men in Black. Right.
A little bit. Yeah. Like, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a really interesting scenario for that. And like Nick was around, and what I landed on was let Nick and Carrie handle it, which felt egalitarian to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, together they've made eye contact. They probably can communicate to each other if they're mm-hmm. somebody needs help. I don't need to be, you know, big man about this.
No,
I don't
need to,
you know, and I wouldn't be doing it for those reasons either. I, you know, obviously no, Carrie's my friend.
You want to,
but the fact that I'm even thinking about this, you know, that I'm so wrapped around the axle on what to do, I think is like a hideous state of current mind and
You know. And also like the whole thing, like, oh, this is the problem with your generation. Nobody wants to be friends or whatever. There's a place to like get that community, and it's called the fucking Y. Dude,
yeah, yeah.
Like, ever since I started, like, there are places you can go where you can find that. It does not need to involve walking onto private property in a private function. Like, there are, you know, for lack of a better word, there are PvP zones in real life.
If, right? if you're not a 36-year-old grandpa, you can also try a bar or any other public place.
Yes.
Other than the Y.
That's the example that came up, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. Yeah. It's very like, why are kids making friends with the Y anymore? Is maybe the oldest thing you've ever said.
Probably.
And I've known you for like 12 years and you've said like 90% old ass shit.
Yes.
That is an incredibly old thing to say.
Right.
In a good way.
Yeah. but it's just more like, no, just you can open yourself up.
Go to a PvP zone.
Yes, go to the PvP zone, right?
Yeah. AKA bars, AKA arcades, AKA, you know, mm-hmm. Any number of things.
Yeah.
It's not, and then also, you know, most of those friends who are at the party I was with, I made through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this guy is too much of a free spirit for that, we've left you in the dust,
mm-hmm.
hippie. Like, you know, like, sorry that you're not utilizing all the tools available for some kind of weird, you know, Western classicalism reason, but get fucked. We met online and started playing D&D. It was great. And mm-hmm. now we're really close friends.
Yeah.
You should be jealous. You know,
it's all good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, I am sympathetic to people who have a hard time making friends. I don't want to sound like I am like pro loneliness from this. Yeah. I think it is just, that is the wrong way to do it. And I think that,
it can be difficult, and your struggle is your struggle. It doesn't need to involve walking onto, God, I sound like such a fucking, and now I'm real self-conscious about sounding like a fucking grandpa, but like, it doesn't need to involve walking into somebody else's space. I almost said walking onto somebody else's property, but like walking into somebody else's space.
To sound old, but not Gran Torino old.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fine line to walk.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 100% with you. It's a thing. It's interesting when people talk about being lonely or not being able to make friends, and like, and then we'll disqualify reasons that you make friends or ways you make friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes can be mildly harder for me to be sympathetic. If somebody's like, I'm having a hard time making friends, and somebody could be like, well, you should, join a meetup and do this kind of thing around your interests. And they're like, I can't do that. And there's a little bit of like, well, that is a deeper problem that you need to work through with therapy, because that is the way around this.
Yeah,
if you're incapable of doing the thing, address the incapability, because this is the thing.
Yeah.
That is how you do it.
There are communities that you can slot yourself into. Like, it cannot just be like something that you're used to where like, oh, I was just born into this church and that was that was the scaffolding.
Well, you can't expect it just to happen either. It's real similar to relationship stuff. Like, you might have a meet cute, like a movie randomly at somebody, but also, I don't know, if you disqualified every way to pursue that, it's real, I've tried nothing and I'm all out of options. Kind of thing. And if it's difficult to try those things, that is the goal. Work on why that's difficult.
I understand there's a certain amount of irony in me dispensing this advice, because I have zero desire to be social in this way.
Yeah.
I'm a recluse. It's fine. Like, but also like, I've got a pretty good understanding of boundaries at the very least, and know how to approach this problem if or ever one that I decided that I, had a desire to solve. Right.
And even just a sense of boundaries, you're doing a very basic human thing of being like, I'm considering whether somebody else would enjoy this before doing a thing. That's not even boundaries. That's just like being a citizen of Earth.
Yeah.
I get so frustrated with people who at no point think about, other people.
Yeah.
Even a little bit. It drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, that's Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, I probably would have sprayed that person with a fire extinguisher.
I wanted to. We all just looked at each other and felt uncomfortable for 10 minutes. And that person was so not only unaware enough to do this in the first place, but unaware to notice that anyone was uncomfortable.
Oh, man. How do you not feel other people's eyes burning a hole in you?
How do you not live? How do you get to this age? How do you survive this? What series of like accidents happened to, just let you socialize and be, how'd you learn English?
Dude, you are so perceived right now.
Yeah.
Like, fucking run, dude.
Even just not, it's not even about not wanting to be perceived, but like caring about the perception you're receiving.
Yeah.
Being okay being perceived is one thing, but just being I don't give a shit if everyone in a room is uncomfortable about my presence. That just sucks.
Yeah,
there's that's
hopping to the front of a it's still a line. You're hopping to the front of a line, even if it's not a bunch of people standing in a row. Yeah,
zero virtue in that. Thank you for bringing this to the show.
Yeah, no, I was just I was flipping through a list of licensed stuff, and I was like, they couldn't have. No, oh, they did, and then we did.
Licensed stuff is a consummate fun one.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hearing this and you like it, we appreciate that. If you want to hear more and you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yep, at $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of the show per month and access to a whole bunch of other stuff. And it supports your boys.
Yeah.
And everybody on the network. It's not just the two of us. Yeah.
No. Recently found out that everything to Guppy is Will's car payment.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's great. We want Will to be able to drive around. He needs to.
Yeah.
So we appreciate all of you, all of this. Big thanks to Gwen, our producer, who edits this. And I think that is about it.
I think so. We'll be back next week. Abject suffering endings. I do that now, don't I?
Yeah.
Sometimes I do anyway. Yeah. What you up to today? That's not an outro. I was just asking. Oh. So yeah.
Oh, I thought, okay.
No. And until next time, every time you listen, it goes into your permanent file.